Welcome to the Julia and Gino podcast, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from a family perspective. We are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro. Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbaro, host of the Julia and Gino podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Hi, Joel.
Hey.
How you doing?
I am wonderful.
We've got a great show today. Yes. And what I want to talk about today is something that I've been trying to perfect the craft over the last 20 something years. And it seems like every day I still suck at it. I still don't say the right words. Every day I can look at something that I've said to my child and I'm like, why can't I get good at this? I'm just like constantly learning. I'm always saying sorry.
Better.
I'm getting better, but I'm not like, I can't get up every day and say, I crushed being a dad. It seems like you're always pointing me going, Gino, would you stop saying that to your daughters? Well, that really shouldn't come out
but
that
time
way.
On. You didn't grow up with girls. And so you were given five.
So you give me, you're letting me off the hook. I'm not letting myself off the hook because I had to reflect this morning as I'm thinking about it, Julia. And it's something where when you watch TV, sometimes you see this picture of perfection of what a father should be or what we should be doing. And that's not the reality. The reality of us, even though we have a lot of experience and our guest today has four children, we have six, we could probably, have a 5-on-5 basketball game going on with the amount of kids we have. So we've got a lot of experience, right? So let me introduce the guest today. We have, Julie and I've been working with this guest. We love him. His name is Javon McCormick. He's the author of Modern Leader and CEO of a massively successful company. I can say massively successful again. Yes, that's redefining the world of publishing. But it wasn't always this way. Javon speaks about his upbringing from poverty, abuse, and discrimination. So how did he come from nothing to having it all? And most importantly, what lessons can we learn from his journey? Javon, I know you weren't ready for fatherhood and for me bashing what I've been doing. How are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Oh, what is going on? This is going to be awesome. I'm loving this. I am excellent. I woke up this morning. I'm healthy. Family's healthy. So excellent day.
Does anything that I say resonate with you? Or are you just the perfect dad out there going, I don't know what this guy Gino's talking about?
Oh man. So Gino, let me throw this out there. You and Julie have heard me say this time and time again. I'm a guy. I don't drink. I don't smoke. When I say don't drink, you hear a lot of people say that, but I occasionally have a drink. No, I drank one time when I was 15, first and last time. So I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do any drugs. I don't gamble. And you are never going to hear about me cheating on my wife. That said, me and the Lord are still working on my foul language. So to your point, do I resonate with what you said? Hell no, I'm not a perfect dad. Man, I will say this, Gino, it took me time to realize, and I shared this with my wife, I don't think there's a perfect household. And what I mean by that is everyone's trying, for the most part, I believe, is trying to be the best that they can be in their house. You know, we all have different beliefs, values, and rules and things of that nature that we're trying to teach our kids to be the best that they can be. So I feel that a lot of people really get caught up now. And like you said, TV, social media is bad, where people feel that, oh my God, they've got it all. And people are giving out parenting advice. And I just don't believe there's a perfect household. Everybody's got something different going on. So yeah, man, I make mistakes. Like you said, daily.
And when we're talking with Javon, most of you may not know his story. I would say go back to the Jake and Gino podcast. He shares his story extensively there. But Javon, can you share with us, everyone's out there going, oh, I had it rough growing up. I didn't have the role models. I wasn't surrounded by, how did you extricate yourself from your situation? Just give a 30-second overview of your situation with your dad. I recall had 23 children and
got it.
Rough life. And how did you extricate yourself from there and were able to find the right role models to say, hey, this is how I want to become a father to my children?
I'll give the 30-second version. My dad was black. My mom was white. I'm 51. So I grew up mixed race in the 70s. Not a good look. But my dad was a pimp. had 23 kids. My mom was a prostitute. I'm the only child my mom ever had. So that's what I came into the world to. You know, I never saw my dad treat women with respect, and I never saw my mom be treated with respect. I was in and out of juvenile prison 3 different times. I was sexually molested by one of my dad's prostitutes at age 6, 7, 8 years old. I was abandoned with 3 of my half brothers and sisters in a house for almost a month. I was homeless at 13, never graduated from high school. I've got a GED, you know, so I never went to college. But, you know, obviously, you know, there's a lot more in between there that I went through. But, you know, where I struggled, you know, long even before we get to the children, was I didn't know how to hold a relationship. Man, I was horrible in relationships. I was a monster. I was derogatory. I was disrespectful. I could not hold a relationship. And then, you know, that I remember the day I had to look in the mirror and have a conversation and say, man, you're just like your dad. And, you know, I had to identify, okay, why? What would happen? And then I realized, like you just heard me say, look how I watched my dad treat women. You know, my dad put women on a street corner. They sold their bodies. He took all the money. My mom was a prostitute. I never saw her be respected. So I never had, you know, what does a healthy relationship look like? Here's what's key though. Many people will stop right there, and that becomes their crutch. Oh, well, my dad was this, my mom was that. And I said, okay, great. Now I've identified the issue. Now we've got to go out and change it. How do we redefine our character? How do we improve? How do we get better? So for me, it started there. I had to first figure out how do you even hold a damn relationship. But then when I had children, that was a whole different dynamic, because the way I was raised and the things I went through compared to like how my children live, night and day. And Gino, let me throw this in there right now, because my wife and I were literally just talking about this yesterday. Just yesterday, I looked at my wife and I told her, I said, hey, Ava's 9 years old now. Ava's our oldest. She's 9. I said, do you realize when I was 9, I was at the bowling alley at 2 a.m. and no one knew I was there. And I was waiting for people to finish their nachos so I could go up and eat them afterwards. And no one even knew I was there. And I look at Ava now. Ava can't cross the street by herself. So it's so different to as a parent looking at my daughter versus how I was. It's just night and day.
So those of you who are having a rough day today, like myself, feel a little pity party, a little victimhood. That sounds like a rough life, rough first 15 or 20 years. So get off the, as we like to say, feeling sorry for yourself and realizing that, I mean, we all have difficult challenges, but those are some really difficult challenges growing up.
Javon, I'm curious, when you said you want to have a different relationship with your wife, when you know, you didn't have a relationship before, and now all of a sudden you're married, an amazing husband and father, how did that happen? Tell us about the secret behind that.
A catalyst.
So what really drove it was you all really remember this. So, you know, 07 through 09. Housing market, credit crisis, you know, Great Recession, you know, name your, you know, tagline on what you want to put on that. I went broke in 07, lost all my money. And I remember coming home, looking in the mirror. And like I said, I had an out loud conversation. None of that shit where you look in the mirror and, you know, you talk to yourself in your head. No, out loud. Like there were 2 people there. And I realized, I was like, wow, okay. So you made a lot of money and you had a horrible character. Now you're broke and you still have the same horrible character. And so I realized, okay, money doesn't change your character. And I had to say, okay, what do you want to be going forward? And that became the catalyst of, okay, how am I going to do this different? Because up until then, like I said, horrible, just monster. I don't have a lot of regrets in life. One of my biggest regrets was how I treated many women in the relationships that I was in. So, you know, and it wasn't you know, it wasn't an overnight thing, you know, but I specifically remembered I would go to the gym all the time, and I go to Lifetime Fitness, which is more of a family gym. And I would see this specific husband and wife, and they had four kids, and I watched how they interact. And this is pretty much my whole life, is like, observe, how do they do that? Why do they do that? You name it, from making money to success to business. My whole life has been, okay, observe it. Okay, they did it. That means, okay, it can be done. And so I would just watch this family. And then I started, I befriended the dad, and I would ask him questions. And that's really was my first, okay, how long have you guys been married? And you know, what's hard? What's not? How are the kids? You know, and I would just pepper them with questions. So yeah, you know, whatever we're not changing, we're choosing. And so unless you're willing to make changes, you're choosing to stay the same.
To you, Jevon, what is the role of a father?
You know, again, I truly believe that depends on the household now more than ever, because now, you know, you have quote unquote stay at home dads. And so that's a whole completely different dynamic. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad, right or wrong, whatever works for someone's household. Hey, you do you, you know, but for me, I want my children to see, man, dad treated mom like a queen. Dad was at times hard. Shit, at times he was harsh, but dad always tucked us in at night. Dad always told us he loved us. He always told us he was proud of us. You know, no one told me they were proud of me until I was 46. It was interesting. It was my mom. My mom had not told me she was ever proud of me until I was 46 years old. So it became a big thing for me to always let my kids know I'm proud of them. So for every mistake that I make, you know, when you yell, you raise your voice, you're too harsh. I want my children to know, yeah, okay, dad, you know, effed up in some areas, but man, he was always there for us. He loved us. He provided, he treated mom like a queen. So for me, as a man, as a father, that's the, I want my kids to be able to look back and say, and this last one is very important to me. I never want my kids to be able to say, I wish someone would have told me. I want my kids to, you know, if they open that door, I want my kids to be able to say, oh, damn, dad told us that was going to happen. I never want them to say, I wish someone would have told me. I only want them to be able to say, you know, dad told us that we were going to happen. You know, even if they choose to walk through the door, I just want them to know, hey, I told you, you didn't listen. Great. You had to find out on your own, but I told you, you knew.
What is some of the hardest things that you've had to do as a father?
Realize that my children will never, ever understand where I come from. And it took me about 4 years with Ava, our oldest. You know, I'd look at her and tell my wife, she's so soft and you know, don't appreciate shit. And so it's what hit me one day was, and this is very critical. I feel more people should look at life this way. Gino and Julia, if the three of us right now decide, hey, we're going to take a mission trip to some third world country. So we get down there, we're going to stay for 2 weeks, and we're there, and we see no running water, no electricity, and you know, we see the struggle. But here's the thing. We know we're going back home. I know I'm going back to that gated community. And so you're never really in it. You see it, you're getting a taste of it. But unless that's your life every day, where you wake up and there are no other options, you don't really ever experience it. And it hit me one day that that's my kids. They're never going to know what it's like to pull food out of a trash can and eat it like I did. They're never going to know what it's like to bounce from relative to relative, be in juvenile prison and people don't know where you are and you're homeless. But they're never going to know any of that. So I stopped fighting that battle. And because it was a hard battle for me, I'm like, well, how are they going to learn to be hard? And how are they going to learn to appreciate? So what I turned it into for me is I said to myself, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you everything that I possibly can. You want to fly on a private plane? I'm going to show you what that looks like. You want to have a private tour guide at Disney? I'm going to show you what that looks like. Like my daughter, she's 9. She's been to Disney World 4 times. The only way she's ever experienced Disney World is a private tour guide. Like she has no clue. She asked this last time. She goes, Dad, what's that 180 mean up there? I go, that's how long the damn line is for people who have to stand in line 180 minutes. And she goes, 180? I go, yes. You don't know about that. So for me, I want them to know, and I want to show them everything that's possible. And I'll pay for their college when they graduate. They'll have no student debt. But after that, Gino and Julia, for me, you're on your own. I've showed you what's out there. Now you got to go get it. If you want it, it's out there. Go.
That's amazing. I have to say, we were just talking about this, I think yesterday, about the kids don't understand what our life was like. No matter, you can explain it to them, just like you said. And I think a lot of us use that as, you need to understand this. Otherwise, you're not going to get anywhere in it. So I appreciate that you mentioned that, because we've just literally talked about it with Veronica yesterday. And I was telling my husband, she doesn't understand. She will not, never, ever understand what you're talking about. She's never experienced it. We could walk through, just like you said. And I love that. And the thing is, we don't understand what they're going through. And I think we forget that part, is the kids are experiencing life as these little people, and we're their parents. You two, as their fathers, don't understand where they're coming from a lot of the time. And I think that's hard for us to understand. Right? Would you agree?
I would. I love when Julia pontificates here. I'm waiting for a question.
I'm not asking.
Okay.
I like conversation. I'm a conversation person. Ask a question.
I'll give you one real quick. Think about this. So last year, we're in Austin, Texas, and we had the quote unquote the ice storm, and the electricity was out for like 3 days, but we have a gas fireplace. So we put the mattress in front of the fireplace because there was no electricity, and it was cold for Texas. It was truly cold. It was in the 20s, and I remember laughing with my wife, and I told my wife, I go, man, my kids, like they thought it was like camp out and it was fun and we had the mattress. And I remembered as a kid, like, oh, I used to live like this.
It's fun because it's temporary.
Exactly. And so for them, I even remember, like, a month later, so, oh, Dad, can we do that again where the power's not on and we have the flashlights? Like, they wanted to relive that because, again, they're still in this beautiful home, the toilet's still flushed. And so, again, you just have to realize they're never going to know. They're never going to walk in my shoes unless they truly live that lifestyle. And the fact of the matter is, we as parents never want them to experience it. So it's this dynamic in our heads that you have no clue. I walk to school with bread bags on my feet. Now, here's the damnedest thing. We don't want them to experience that, but we're trying to drill it out of them.
So true.
So how do you prepare your kids for life? How are you doing?
Well, even too, as the dads, I you guys are the role models in the home. You mentioned, Javon, you mentioned, treating your wife with respect in front of them. But what are examples? Because there are times where I'm sure you guys are like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose it. And they're the kids. So I got to take it back. Okay. What goes through your mind when you are actively knowing that you're the role model in front of your children?
We all make mistakes. Here's something else for me that was really critical. As a kid, for me, no one ever apologized. No one ever said sorry for that. You're going through this. Sorry that this is harsh. So I'm big on going to my children and say, hey, Dad, sorry. I raised my voice. I was harsh. That's on Dad. Not your fault. You didn't do it. I did that. That's all on me. So I'm big on showing them accountability and responsibility. Don't blame. I don't blame my parents for my dad being a pimp and my mom being a prostitute, I've never blamed them. You know, it's actually quite the opposite. I'm grateful for the what I came into the world, because I know things about this country that most people will never know. So I really have a deep responsibility to teach them, take accountability for your actions, so they can see that their dad said they were sorry. But like my 5-year-old daughter, she always likes to, she tells my wife, I'm going to marry dad. I'm going to marry dad. And so, man, that hit me hard, because I'm like, oh, she looks at me as like, that's what she sees in a man. I'm like, I got to step my game up, because I can't have her coming in with some broke ass guys. And I do. I tell them, you know, your mom's my queen, and you know, don't be disrespectful to my wife. But I'm big on apologizing when I'm wrong. I'm really big on always saying, I love you. I'm proud of you. Giving them all the hugs that I can. I just feel that those things are really important to. Balance when, as parents, we do make those mistakes.
Did you get help for the relationship, or did you figure it out on your own? Because it must have been very difficult if you don't know, if you don't have that skill set. You said you went and mirrored that family in the gym. What else can the listeners do if they're struggling with their relationship? If they don't know how to act like a man, you know, if they don't know how to treat a woman, if they don't know how to have any kind of personal growth or personal development, where else can people reach out? I mean, you've got a great company. I mean, there's so many books that you probably have read, so many resources that people can, you know, gravitate towards. What would you recommend?
You know, it's interesting, Gino. You know this. We live in a time period right now where truly you got minimal excuses that all that between YouTube, blogs, posts. I mean, there's so much information readily available. You know, if you can sit and watch 3 hours of TikTok videos, here's what's surprising to some people. I just stumbled up on this. TikTok has some of the best daily prayer scriptures that come. I'm like, oh, wow. So even with TikTok, there's so many things out there that will teach you, coach you, show you examples. So the information's out there. You know, if you can watch the Game of Thrones series, you know, season 1 through 38, then you can go find out how to be a better husband, how to be a better man, be a better father. And, you know, so zero excuses on that. But the other thing is also what I find, if you are in a relationship, there's a reason why, you know, they say all marriages, 50% of them end up in divorce. I think it's a little bit higher now. And they said the number one reason is communication. And then number two is money. But then number two, money is usually we didn't communicate about the money. So they're like kind of intertwined. And so, but what I find interesting is communication is huge. You have to express your needs, your wants, your desires, your dark secrets, your fears, things that your traumas. Because if you don't, you'll find yourself just in this spiral of, why is this relationship not working? Well, because you're not saying what you want, but you expect someone to know what you want. It just doesn't work.
Did you hear that, Julia?
I did. Okay. We talked about that quite often. And because a lot of times we're assuming the other person is reading our mind. How could you not know? And I talk to a lot of ladies and they're like, but I just don't. How do they not know? I'm like, they don't. I promise.
We're simple. You know what I'm saying? 1 + 1 = 2. That's what it is to us. You know, we're solution oriented.
But it does. And I want to let the two of you know that as a wife, we really do need, and this is for all the listeners, we really do need a strong man in the home. I mean, I didn't grow up with one and I desired to have one. It's never too late. You know, if you're not married yet, choose wisely. That's my advice, because they are going to be the father of your children. But it's so important. And you mentioned something that it's basically responsibility on our part as parents to make the decisions every day, to put in that effort. Because if the parents are struggling, the kids are going to struggle as well. We might not know that, but even like my husband and I argue quite often. ish kind. He's Italian, obviously. So it's a little, it gets a little loud in the house. And a lot of times I'm like, we're not arguing.
Really? It's not really.
Excited about certain things. So he gets loud, I get louder. And the kids kind of stand at the doorway like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And I have to remind them that we're actually just talking.
Well, this is what's really happened over the course of our relationship. I was a little bit tougher on early on, and I've mellowed out and gotten to be really cool. And my wife was the opposite. And now she's turning into me, which is really a weird phenomenon.
We did. Yeah.
And I'm like, what's going on? Yeah. Like, the house is a mess now sometimes. It doesn't really bother me. She's stressing out. I'm like, really?
Yeah,
I'm like, it's really interesting to see that. And man, I could go on. And Julia mentioned about strong men. And this is a shout out to all the guys listening to this. You guys better suck it up, because women need strong men. Because if we have weak men, what's going to happen? The strong, evil men are going to take over. That's the reality. So a woman desires that. Mm-hmm. And how do you make yourself strong? Do what you say. Say what you do. Show up every day. Work hard. The accountability piece, your commitments. When you make a commitment to something, hold up to that commitment. And always think outside of yourself. You're not the only one. As a father, I think we have responsibilities to the family. And we're not the only ones there. I am the last one to get a gift. I'm the last one to go to sleep. I'm the last one to do a lot of things. And I think I speak for a lot of fathers. And if you want to be a strong husband and you want to marry an amazing woman, that's what you're going to need.
You become amazing together.
Well, yes, but you need for me to attract you, I have to have that quality of saying, yes, he's going to protect me. He's going to love me. Yeah. He's going to honor me. He's going to cherish me. And that's what you attract.
100%.
You attract that. So you need to be able to put that out. You need to be able to work on that. So usually I have a question.
Where's the question? I could use that. Yeah, okay. I'm usually the conversationer.
To your point, I will say this as well, because many strong men, or what men view as strong, they eliminate the vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And for me, I don't know if as strong as that, but I'm definitely as hard as they can come, given my background. I was raised to not trust. I was raised to be hard and get through it. And so many strong men, how they define it, mm-hmm. is tucking away the vulnerability. And my wife and I had this really realization that was amazing. So there are times where we've gotten in arguments, and again, I can be very hard and harsh, and she's sitting there sobbing, and all she wants is a hug. She wants me to come over and give her a hug. So she's soft, she sobs. Well, I'm over here, harshness and just disassociated. And what we realized, and I said this to her, this was the vulnerable piece, is you want to hug when you're sobbing? I said, this may come as a surprise to you. My harshness, I also want to hug. And I said, where that comes from me is, as a kid, no one gave me the hug. I was just, you had to be hard, stuff the feelings, get through it. And at times, all I needed was a hug. And so when we hit that, that was like, oh. And so, yeah, vulnerability is really important. And my last piece to this, and are all our girls still in the room?
They're not.
Okay. All right, good. This was very, this was deep for us. About 5 years ago, my wife and I were, interesting, it's right around this time, Christmas time. We were sitting on the couch, we put the kids in bed, and my wife looks over at me and she says to me, hey, how come you've never allowed me to initiate sex? And, you know, Gino, you know, as men, you know, we got an answer for everything. And I didn't have an answer. I was like, I don't know. Let me think about that. So we kind of dropped it, and about 2 weeks went by, and I came up to her. I'm like, hey, I know why. And she goes, no, why what? I go, you asked me why I've never allowed you to initiate sex. And she goes, yeah, what? And I say, here's what I've realized. I've never allowed any woman to initiate sex. And she goes, really? I said, and I know why. It's because when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, and that prostitute used to sexually molest me, she would initiate it. And in turn, that became, I guess, was a defense mechanism or whatever to kind of keep control of that. But that kind of goes back to that vulnerability to be able to express that so she can understand versus, you know, it was she was developing some insecurities, like I wasn't interested or, you know, because it only happened on my terms. And that vulnerability, I have to say, is a huge balance, especially if you are a strong man, because we're taught tuck it away, get through it.
I have to add something because you did. I agree with you, Joanne. You said strong, and I knew what you meant because I know you very well.
Say that, yes.
But we have to remember that part of that strength from a man is humility and gentleness.
Yeah, I don't mean a broad stroke strength.
Yeah, no. I'm glad that it down. Came up,
yes,
though.
I knew it, but I knew what you meant.
So
strength to me means commitment. Yeah. It means following through. Yeah. It means protecting. It means being a someone who can be a caregiver who actually provides for the family. That's my model of strength in my mind for what every man should aspire to. And if you can do that,
but you also give something different too, and that is the gentleness and humility. And yes. I think that's all part of the strength. A lot of men don't think that's part of it.
People see that as a weakness. Yes. Unfortunately, Javon's saying that's not a weakness. Right. That can actually be a strength as well. Yeah. So I agree with you 100%. Okay. I'm just saying, let's get the strong part down first. Let's understand what I think.
It could be strength meaning abusive. Yes. So that's what why I'm glad that we clarified that because I know you very well.
Do you know me very well? Waiting for a question, baby. Hit me with a question.
No, I don't have a question. I wanted to clarify the gentle part of a man is what we desire as well at the same time as that protective strength.
So I think the next project for Javon McCormick is to write a book on fatherhood. I don't want him to create more work for him, but I think this is a topic where he likes to talk. I think it's a topic where he has a lot of experience. And this is something where he can show his vulnerability to say, I come from really no role models, from just something that is totally antithesis of where I am right now. And how did I get there? Where are the bridges? Where did I traverse from, I don't want to call it darkness, but really a completely dysfunctional, you know, upbringing to having just an amazing relationship with his wife, having the four children. We haven't even talked about his business success, his financial success, his legacy success. I think that's your next project. What say you?
You know, I'd appreciate that, Gino. It's what's into your point is, you know, my kids go to private Christian school, and I could not imagine my kids in public school. I just, you know, to think about public school, like where I went to school or even public school now. And, you know, it's as a parent, when I go to their functions at the school and their plays, like they just had their before school, I thought they had their Christmas performances, and just sitting there and looking at my kids and so proud that I can afford to send them to this school, and that they're told, you know, the teachers tell the kids they love the kids. And so they're doing construction. So they're remodeling, but I love that as a dad to be able to show my kids what's possible. That's a big one for me.
Javon, my last question before we wrap up, I was just thinking about this. Do you have any, not the word regret, are you angry at how you were brought up, how you were raised? And do you ever use that anger, that motivation to be a better father?
No, I have zero anger. I've said this many a time. If someone said to me, "Hey, here's your life at 51. Oh man, Julia, Gino, I would relive my childhood five more times if you told me this is an amazing wife, beautiful home. And when I say home, not just the house, a home, because you can have a beautiful home in a one bedroom, single wide trailer, you know, so I have a beautiful home that just happens to be in a lovely house. And so, no, I mean, healthy children, healthy wife, amazing wife, financial career. I take my childhood all over again. And more importantly, I stand by this. I am so thankful, grateful, blessed that my parents, that I God gave me the parents that I have. I tell people this all the time. You know, when you read the Bible and the story about Jesus and the prostitute, and I go, hey, my mom's a prostitute. And so I say to people, no, I am so thankful that I was born to the parents I was born to. And I had the opportunity, and I'll shut up after this, you know, my mom passed away in March, and in February of this year, we ended up on the phone for about 2.5 hours. And, you know, her biggest regret in life was when I was off with my dad for those 6 years, because arguably those 6 years were the most chaotic of my life, but also the most informative, the things that I learned during those 6 years. So I told my mom, I said, you know, I really would appreciate if you just let that go, because I have no regrets. I said, I am so happy and thankful I got those 6 years, because it really helped a lot of who I am. So I told my mom, I go, I get it as a parent that it bothers you that I went through those things, but I am so grateful. And I said, please just set that down, because here's what you gave me, Mom. You gave me life. I said, and you taught me how to survive. I had to teach myself how to thrive. And I said, I'm forever grateful for that.
That's beautiful, Javon. Really, that's incredible. I'm so thankful that you got that opportunity with her. But you just made a point that actually that I wanted to make, which is kind of weird, that we so try to have our children live the perfect life. And I'm speaking for myself and my husband, where, you know, we're trying to avoid them struggling, put them in a good school, watch who they're hanging out with and all these things. And sometimes, I mean, we have older children, so I've seen this a little bit more. Sometimes we try to make everything like pave the path so perfectly in front of them so they don't struggle. And I have to sometimes, I'm like, wait a second, they have to fall. They have to make mistakes. They have to suffer a little bit in order to get what you're talking about. And we're so, it's so, you know, coming to, I didn't have a father at home, and I was like, oh, I never want that. I don't want them to have these experiences that I had. And sometimes we are so cautious that we make their life too good. And then they don't, would you agree with me? Like,
oh, okay. So my wife and I, we battle with that one a lot. Here's the harsh piece of me. So let's say the kids, you know, are climbing on the couch. Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, if you climb away, if you fall, I don't want to hear it. And sure enough, somebody falls, gets hurt, and they start crying. And I'm like, don't bring it here. And my wife, you know, show them some compassion. No, I told you. So to me, some of that harshness, you do have to learn. You made that choice. I told you. Again, this goes back to what I said. I never want my kids to be able to say, I wish someone would have told me. No, I told you not to climb on the couch. You chose to. You fell. I told you what was going to happen. So I'm big on, yeah, sometimes you do have to open the door yourself. One of the big, you know, there's two big ones for me. I never want my kids to touch a drug. And because I grew up watching heroin addicts, crackheads, and just seeing the destruction that comes with drug abuse and addiction. I never want my kids to experience that. And then obviously, you know, I don't want any of my children to get someone pregnant before they're married. And so those are the two big ones for me. Everything else, I feel like, okay, you make some big mistakes. Dad can help you out. You know, you're going to have to experience that and make those mistakes and sit in it for a while. But good God, don't ever touch a drug. Yeah. Good God, don't touch a drug.
Yeah, something tells me your kids will be okay. I do. I mean, no, really, good parents. I think that you're real about them. I think that's important to remember, is that, you know, you don't hide it. A lot of times we hide, like a lot of, you know, we hide. We're not allowed to look at it, touch it, or whatever. But you have a story to share.
You know, Julia, I know we got to wrap up, but yes. Thank you for saying that, because it this just happened this morning. So, mm-hmm. So my daughter, you know, I've only read 7 books. I'm 51. And when I say read, only read 7 books, thank God.
Wait, what
for
do you
Audible.
Have? You have a, what are you, what's your company?
I know I got a publishing company. I know.
Anything is possible.
Hey, thank God for the man or woman that created Audible, you know, so it's, but yeah, I've only read 7 books. Well, my daughter, my 9-year-old, she's struggling on reading, and, you know, we're pretty sure she's dyslexic. So she's going to her assessment this morning, and she's just been nervous for the last week and a half. She doesn't want to go. She's sitting there crying and doesn't want to go to this. And I got down on my knee and I hugged her and I said, hey, and I might get tears in my eyes on this one. I said, honey, daddy is so blessed that we have the money to pay for this. I do not want you to be 51 years old like dad and not be able to read and struggle with the books that dad tries to help you with. And we have to ask mom what the word is, because even dad doesn't know. And I said, this is going to help you be able to be a great reader and never, ever be like me. I tell them all the time, if you ever see anything about me as your father that you say, oh man, I want to be just like my dad. No, say you want to be a billion times better than your dad. Don't ever be like me. Be a billion times better than anything that you see with me that you want as a piece of yourself.
Wow.
Javon, where can the listeners get a hold of you?
Oh man, you know, I limit my social media. So I'm on LinkedIn. You know, for whatever reason, people like for me to share my thoughts on whatever comes to mind. So LinkedIn, you can find me at scribemedia.com or javonmccormick.com. So those are the 3 places.
I'm going to let Julia wrap
just
it
wanna,
up.
I just want to say one thing and then you can wrap it up. No, is that as a child in the house, I know from having 5 daughters, you know, and Michael, but they know that their dad loves them. They feel the love, you know, you can say it all you want, but the fact that you guys show the love to your children and to your wives, I think that's all that we're able to give our children. And I think we forget that sometimes. We try to give them so much stuff and experiences, but it's really just us that they crave. And it's just something to remember every morning when we wake up, is that just to love them.
That's a good wrap up. You said, let Gina, I'm going to leave the wrap up at that.
Right. That was great.
Father.
That's a wrap.
Yes. Go back. I mean, go back everybody and listen to the show. And for everyone, we all have the idea of what a father is. I think a father is someone who loves his kids, takes care of his kids, is responsible, and just continues to work on his craft, because you're never going to be the perfect true father. And we're always going to make mistakes. And we're always trying to get better. So
yes. Well, I do always say, do the best you can, love your kids, and let God take care of the rest.
All right, yeah. Baby. With that, Javon, we want to thank you for being on the show, and we will see you next time, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Take care. Thank you.